Good evening and welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's so good to be in here sharing the love and the word of Christ. We are in Terrorize Bible City Daybreak. Yay. And the last 3 weeks we've actually been in the book of Ruth. Oh, in the book of Ruth, it has so many nuggets. And the first week we talked just about the history. And the second week we discussed the sovereignty of God and Hesed. I love that word.
I do too.
It's just it's a neat word. Like it kind of rolls
you
off.
You want to say it a lot.
And it just means loyalty, kindness.
Loyal love.
Loyal love. And then now we're going to just stick in. I think we're going to finish chapter 4 of Ruth. It's a short book, but it's amazing.
It's powerful.
To see the history of Christ.
Completely. And we have been examining and going through and talking through how Elimelech and Naomi left Bethlehem and during a time of famine, and then Elimelech and their two sons passed away. Then that left Naomi with her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, and then Ruth was the only one that stayed with her to come back to Bethlehem. And that in God's sovereignty, he provided where Ruth, when she went to go glean, she was gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And as she gleaned in the fields of Boaz, she realized that this was their kinsman redeemer, a close relative to Elimelech. Naomi sends her to the threshing floor to have Boaz put the blanket over the feet to symbolize that he would marry her. But he says, there's a problem. There's one that's closer. And we examined last week the character of Ruth. And this week, what we're going to do is we're going to actually look at Boaz's character a little bit more fuller. We kind of introduced it a little bit, but before we do, let's go ahead and let's story God's word in chapter 4. Now, in the meantime, what happens is that Boaz went down to the city gate. He woke up early in the morning, and you know, all the men are sitting around the gate, and he waited for the kinsman redeemer to come walking through. And as soon as he saw him, he says, "You, come here. My friend, come sit with me. Come right here." And they took the 10 elders that were there, and he says, "Listen, Naomi has come back from Moab, and she's selling her land. And I thought I would bring this matter to your attention because you are her kinsman redeemer. And if you redeem it, you will be the one that gets to own the land." And immediately the man said, "I'll redeem it." And Boaz says, "Oh, well, what you need to know is on that day when you redeem the land, you will also redeem Naomi and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. You will acquire the dead men's widows. And and you will have to maintain not just the property, but the heritage and the lineage of the women."
Right.
And the kinsman redeemer says, "Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't do that." He's like backpedaling. "Thanks, but, you know, that would endanger my estate for my children. I cannot redeem it." And now, scripture says that in earlier times, when a redemption of property was to occur, they would give a transfer of a sandal. And the man, Boaz, reaches down, he takes it, and he says, "Buy it yourself." And he hands him his sandal, and he takes the man's sandal.
That's from Deuteronomy, I think.
Yeah, it is. And so what happens is that he announced to the elders, "Today you've witnessed that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon, and I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the family lineage." The elders at the gate said, "We are witnesses, and may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah. What a blessing. And that through your house that you may be standing and become famous in Bethlehem." What a prophecy. Huge. "And through your offspring, may the Lord give you by this young woman the family like Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." Now, Boaz immediately went and got Ruth and took her as his wife. And he went to her, and God gave her a son. And they said, "Praise the Lord who has done this with us. My kinsman redeemer has made us famous throughout all of Israel, and who has sustained us in our old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi takes the baby Boaz and lays him in her lap, and she names him, and they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse. I said, and then that's the lineage. We talked about the lineage and how that Ruth is the great-great-grandmother of
David,
thank you. I totally went blank on the man's name. Thank you, God, for David. All right, what I want us to see is that through Boaz's role, there is a praise that happens, okay? When he go back in, when he sees her in the field, he praises her. He says, oh, bless you, my daughter, for I have seen what you have done. He gives the blessing there. When she shows up at his feet on the threshing floor, he blesses her again. Oh, I praise you, my daughter, for this is a greater gift than you had done before for Naomi that you have done for me. And then the blessing that comes with the son. There is a blessing that comes in praise through Boaz. Now, there's a problem that kinsman redeemer was there, and Boaz had told her. He goes, we have to deal with the fact that we have this kinsman redeemer. And I immediately thought, you know, that was very clever of Boaz, because he didn't come in and say, you know, would you like to have Ruth as your wife? He comes and says, you know, that there's some property to be redeemed. And the guy's like, oh, I want it. And he goes, oh, but not just property, but there's widows with that property. And through that, the kinsman redeemer backs off and it opens the door for him to come in. Through this, it's a huge movement, and this is the way their community worked, that everybody would be standing at the gate. The gate is the place that all business would move through, and essentially the 10 elders are the men that can no longer go about doing the hard labor of tending the fields and stuff. They're the older people, and they're the elders, and so all business goes by them. And to have them as witnesses, and culturally in Deuteronomy, we are told that 10 is a witness that they would have for this situation. And you'll actually see examples of that even in Acts, when Peter goes to Cornelius's house, he takes witnesses with him. And when you actually do the number count of when it lays out the numbers, it's a number 10. And they end up having 10 people, because what's about to transform is the welcoming in of the Gentiles into the body of Christ. And so it needed to be more witnesses within the Jewish body than just one. And because there's a profound accountability amongst the elders, and when the witness happens, that way there can be no doubt what occurred. What I want to
smart.
It is extremely smart to have a witness, isn't it? Ruth, and as she is doing this and coming up and asking him to be her husband, and as Boaz invites her, we find that God reveals himself in a mighty way to a foreigner. And what we have to see and talk about, Sabrina introduced this in the first session, is the open door to those around us, to literally be opening the door, and that it's a covenant relationship. What the chesed of what has occurred with Ruth, with Naomi, Boaz to Ruth, God to us, is a covenant relationship. And there are a couple of things that I want you to see that are things that are takeaway value that we each need in our life. In Ruth 1:16, we see that there's a faithful commitment, and that's where she prays. I mean, the prayer that we always make a pray, but when she states, she says that, you know, don't urge me to leave. So we see a faithful commitment. Now, in Ruth 2:2-3, what we're going to see is we're going to see a steadfastness. That is where she goes out and she works in the fields. Okay, so we have faithful commitment, we have a steadfastness and a servant heart. And then the next thing what we're going to find is the obedience. In Ruth 3:1-5, when Naomi tells her to go to the threshing floor, she does not question her mother-in-law. She says, yes, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. And so we see obedience to counsel. One of the key factors that we can recognize when we are talking and working with someone, if we're mentoring or if we're trying to disciple someone, that you want to look for, that I want to look for, is what's the heart to obedience? Is the heart truly willing to allow obedience to occur? If a heart is willing to take the word of God and obey it, then you know that that's a place you need to work.
Amen.
And then the fourth item that we take from her is that it's loyalty at all costs. But the blessing of God upon the one that is willing to be faithful, steadfast, obedient, and loyal is that blessing will come. You do not have to fear or wonder if God will bless you. God will honor those that seek to honor him. And we often might struggle. I don't know where your aspect of struggle is that I think, you know, we can be at different points in all of these, but essentially, if you think about it, it first has to begin with faithfulness.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And one of my favorite phrases to say right now is we just have to faith it. When I don't get it,
I love that.
And I'm not understanding it. It comes down to a point in time where I have to faith it. I have to faith it and believe that God is God, that He is sovereign, that He's in control, that He's not going to leave me hanging out there. And I mean, just right down to the New Testament passage that says that, you know, we don't have to worry about what we will eat or wear.
That's right, Matthew 6.
Yeah. And you think of how often circumstances will come and we will be worried about such superficial things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God says, you don't have to worry about what's the most important things. You know, one, that you'll have food in your stomach, and two, that you'll have a coat on your back.
All right. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah. And all these things shall be added unto you. Once we've moved past where we understand and grasp the faith it, like Ruth did, she faithed it in moving back to Bethlehem. She faithed it when she went and worked in Boaz's field. She faithed it as she remained steadfast. The steadfastness begins the revelation of what's going on in the private chambers of her life. And that's going to be a recurring theme. In fact, we could take any character in the Bible and that truly walked in obedience to God, and we're going to see that it's that steadfastness, that moving forward and not going backwards. And then what's going to happen is that a person that's faithing it and being steadfast, they will be able to recognize wise counsel. And as wise counsel comes in, and as the wise counsel is spoken, they can recognize wise counsel for what it is, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
And when the wise counsel is heard, it's obeyed. And that's where you see the footsteps of obedience. And this ends up being what, in my mind, I have this image of two senior adults that have been married for 50 years, okay? And was it easy, the process of marriage? Well, we all know the reality of life. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know that they had trials. You know the senior adult would have had tribulations. You know that they would have had fights. Mm-hmm. You know that they would have had financial situations. You know that they've had death in the family. They've had illness. We can only imagine what would have been encompassed in the 50 years of a marriage, okay? But through their faithful commitment, I marry you. Okay, what are the typical traditional vows that we make? To love, honor, and obey, mm-hmm. in sickness and in health.
Till death do us part.
Okay, the commitment of faithfulness is the beginning of the process. The steadfastness is the willingness to serve even when it hurts. Okay, mm-hmm. The obedience to wise counsel is when it's rough, I'm going to stick to the course. I'm going to stay. I'm going to remain faithful to the commitment that I've made and press on in my steadfastness. And then what we see when they've been married 50 years is what loyalty mm-hmm, looks
at
like.
All costs.
Is that awesome?
That's perfect.
It's a beautiful.
I can see him sitting on the bench in the park.
I know. I love it. I love it. It's that that loyalty at mm-hmm. all costs. Proverbs 3 has a verse that, let me turn real quick because I think it's 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord.
No, it's going to be then a different one. Hold on. It's verse 3. Proverbs 3:3 says, let love mm-hmm. and faithfulness, and depending on your translation, that word is actual loyalty, some translations. Love and loyalty, or love and faithfulness, never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. And that there, it's following the blessing that says in Proverbs 3:2, it says, my son, or 1 and 2, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity.
Mm.
And
wow.
when I read Ruth, I see those verses. I mean, it's like those verses are very real.
Well, it's so funny that you were talking about obedience to counsel, and I'm in studying Deuteronomy, so I'm getting obedience, 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 and observe, and observe, and observe. And it's just amazing how simple we just make it so much more difficult than it really needs to be. But to know the commandments that God has placed before us is not to hurt us, and not to, it's just to give us so we can be loyal. We know what to be loyal to. If you don't even know what the commandments are, I challenge you to memorize them.
Hmm.
We're doing that in our house, and I didn't even know them all.
That's awesome. You know what? My husband has a great method that he found that has a little picture icon, and my children memorized it like in 5 to 10 minutes, and they can even do them backwards. It's kind of scary because I still struggle even with the picture icon. But if you remind me, I can have it sent to you. And if somebody wants to email me as far as the 10 commandments to help you memorize them, you can email me at tararye.com, and I'll be happy to send you this method. It's really simple.
But it's all about obedience.
It is.
So
it is that
that's
obeying
just another word.
The word of God.
Right.
Obeying the word of God. And Ruth and Naomi and Boaz were in a situation where the sovereignty of God was at work. Redemption was moving towards a plan, and it was to prepare a way for the lineage of Christ.
Right.
It was the preparation. And at times, I think as I struggle, and at times as I watch my people struggle, and at times as I watch my friends struggle, we forget that God has a plan.
That's right.
And in his sovereignty, he knows what needs to happen in order for the reality of his character to be made known in us.
Mm.
The challenge that has to come in my heart, because I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not doing myself, is that when I face life, whatever it is my life may be, whether it's the good, the bad, the beautiful, or the ugly, is to ask God, in this circumstance, what is the character you want me to have?
Hmm.
What is the character you want me to get? Because obviously, if I'm in it, there's something still not where it needs to be when it's a not so good situation. And even in good situations, sometimes our character change is revealed because all of a sudden a sin pops up and we don't realize we have that sin. And it's always about getting it cleansed up before God and walking in that faithful, steadfast, obedient, loyal love to him. Because chesed is best known when it's God at work and his chesed, his loyal love to us, and our working with God, coming along with him where he's at, moving in that chesed love, that loyal love, and joining him. And when that happens, that's when incredible things begin to take place. And it's the most amazing thing in the whole wide world to be a part of. I don't know if you even know what loyal love is, but I pray today that you seek the one who loves you with an everlasting love. God bless.